What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Jordan Malley, along with Matt Peck. We are live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. So, Matt, what was your favorite turnover last night?
Oh, my God. It's hard to pick one, isn't it? I think it's got to be the inbounds pass that never was, right? The inbounds pass that literally went to no one, starting from the baseline, then just passed it side out of bounds to the sideline where there was no bull. I think it was Denzel Valentine who was cutting to maybe hit some open space near the corner and then like change his mind and cut back the other way. And yeah.
You're giving it too much credit even at that point. It was just like, what the hell were you doing, Jerry and Grant? That's what we kind of want to, we're going to talk about that today. So if you tuned into the Bulls game early last night, I don't blame you if you didn't, if you stopped watching, if you flipped to the college basketball game or some of the other NBA games that were going on, because besides the Bulls game, there was a full slate of games that were awesome last night that we can kind of talk about too at the end of the show. But before we do that, let's kind of jump in to talk about what happened last night and where exactly this team goes from here. So the Bulls set another franchise low by scoring 7 points in that opening quarter. What did you take away from this game, and were you able to bear through the entire game?
Yeah, I mean, I watched most of it. I tuned out for a little part of the third quarter, but the takeaway is really what we saw in the first part of this game, the first 12 minutes. You mentioned the franchise low for points in the first quarter, 1 point away from tying the franchise low for fewest points in any quarter, which is 6. And this was a worsening of a continuing trend of their past 3 games, where they have now averaged, I want to say, 12.5 points in the opening frame through their last 3 games. And Hoiberg talked a little bit after the game about these slow starts they're getting off to, and he did try to spin it positively, saying like, well, yeah, we came back and we kept fighting and we actually won the third quarter and the fourth quarter. We won the second half. Like, okay, great. That's super. But for a team that is lacking in talent as badly as the Bulls do, they can, I mean, that's another thing Hoiberg says a lot. It's like, there's very minimal room for error with this group.
You know, that can't happen. That cannot happen with your group. It's very disappointing.
Because there's just not much talent there. And when you get out to a start of trailing 27-7 after 12 minutes.
You know, we fought from the second quarter on, but, you know, again, we're down 20 after the first quarter with a 7-point quarter. You know, you're not breeding any confidence for yourselves. So it's just, you know, again, it's a mindset.
The rest of that game is not going to be pretty, even though the final score does not reflect how one-sided this game
is. Oh, absolutely not, because you could see in the second half, OKC basically took the dogs off. And there was at one point, Carmelo Anthony was playing in the game in the fourth quarter. I'm like, why do you have any of your starters out there?
Well, this is did Tom Thibodeau suddenly take over as head coach of the Thunder?
That's what I was like. I was like, why is he even out there? But it goes back to the point of what we said prior to last night's game. And on our episode yesterday, we talked about find a way not to get down early, and the Bulls found that way to do it again. It's embarrassing for the fact that the Bulls now have done this twice in a matter of, what, 3 weeks, where they've scored less than 10 points in a quarter. When you do that, you're pretty much going to get blown out. Like, it's almost impossible to recover from a quarter like that. And when you're playing a team as good as OKC, and OKC's not even like a top five team in this league. Like, we're talking about playing a competitive Western Conference team. When the Bulls match up against teams like Golden State, which they're going to see in a couple weeks, It's gonna be brutal to watch. Can I just point out the other fact too? 4 of the 5 starters on the Bulls last night combined for 19 points on 4 of 26 shooting. 4 of 26
Yeesh.
Shooting.
Yeesh. You know who is the outlier there?
You know who it is.
The finisher, baby.
He's not allowed to be
16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block, 0 turnovers for Markkanen.
He's not allowed to be in any of our negative
talk. The shining beacon of this putrid Bulls season thus far.
Speaking of Lauri Markkanen, though, if you don't know, we're carrying a contest right now on social media. So if you want to enter in to win a Lauri Markkanen jersey, simply go over to Locked On Bulls on Twitter, Locked On Bulls on Facebook, or send us an email, a screenshot of you subscribing to the show, and we'll enter you into that contest. But yeah, Lauri Markkanen last night, as much as this game was bad, he was like the one bright spot again. And I feel like that's continually going to happen, especially in a lot of these blowouts. And last night wasn't even a blowout. If you just looked at the final score, I mean, the Bulls only ended up losing by 13. But like you said, it did not reflect the way the game was played at all. And it goes back to our conversation yesterday, too. The Bulls have, even if they are playing slightly between mid and lower tier defense stacked up against the other teams in the NBA, their offense is just awful.
I think it shows you something about the lack of offensive weapons they have. When head coach Fred talks after the game about the strong game that Antonio Blakeney had, 16 points on 5 of 12, 3 of 6 from downtown off the bench, 26 minutes. This kid was brought up from the G League roster. He was brought up from the Windy City Bulls. And granted, I mean, this kid was putting up crazy numbers in the G League. He was averaging nearly 40 points.
Yeah, we talked about him on the Debatables a couple weeks ago. I said that he had that 35-point game, and he had a closing out shot to win in overtime. And then he put up 44 points in another game before the Bulls decided to bring him up. And we said that earlier, too. We were like, give the guy a chance. I mean, who else on the Bulls do you have to score? And if this guy's putting up 35 to 45 points a game in the G League, give him a shot.
But that's the thing. I mean, Hoiberg talked after the game about Blakeney being one of the few guys, if the only guy on the court last night, that could create his own shot. What does that say about your point guards? We saw for the first time, because of Holiday's absence against the Thunder, Dunn and Grant starting in the backcourt together. It was Jaren Grant who got the quick hook from Fred because he had a couple of really bad turnovers to start this game. He didn't do well. 1 of 5 in 27 minutes for 6 points. But Chris Dunn, the one who stayed in longer than Grant in that miserable first quarter, he finished even worse. 1 of 11 in 29 minutes for 3 points. I mean, six turnovers between the two of them. I mean, yeesh. Yeah, let's praise Blakeney for having a decent game right after being brought up from the G League. But when he's the one, not either of your point guards, who's able to create a shot for himself or a teammate, that's not good.
Yeah, so when do you want to have that conversation about how Jerian Grant is not a starting point guard? And the way he's been playing over the last couple of weeks, it's almost brutal to watch. Like, we talked about it in the first couple games where I brought up the fact that I was like, Jerian Grant just doesn't look like he knows how to facilitate an offense whatsoever. And night in and night out, when the Bulls are playing competitive teams, you saw it against San Antonio and now again against the Thunder for the second time in like 3 weeks, Jerian Grant still can't facilitate an offense. And I don't care if Chris Dunn's out there or not, if Jerian Grant's your go-to guys in terms of trying to create separation, trying to create offense, Jerian Grant clearly can't do that. So I don't know. I'm ready to sort of give up on him. I'm tired of watching him go out there and dribble for 17 seconds and then try to dish it off to somebody to take a terrible shot.
Not a new conversation. We've been talking about this since training camp. Like, who is going to win this starting point guard spot? And it's really, you know, it's come down to Dunn and Grant. Dunn took a back seat for a while because he had to rehab that nasty dislocated finger. But now they're both healthy, and now they're still, neither of them, really proving themselves and creating any separation from the other. And that's the other thing, and, you know, this is looking far ahead towards, hey, yeah, the Bulls are still only 2 wins into this season. Atlanta picked up a win last night. Dallas still only has 2 as far as where the Bulls are going to be when those ping pong balls hit that 2018 draft lottery. This is a pretty stacked draft at the top, but none of the top guys are point guards. That's something that I'm worrying about right now, because we talk about Dunn being a big piece of that Butler trade, and I'm not throwing in the towel yet, but it sure would be nice if, while we're losing all these games, there was some stud point guard in the upcoming 2018 draft class that I was excited about.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, we're already looking ahead to other guys that could potentially help in the draft or in free agency. And if you look as early as next year, there isn't a whole lot out there in terms of like.
I mean, like Colin Sexton, Alabama. He's like the top ranked point guard right now. He's usually somewhere ranked like 7 to 12.
Yeah, and on draft boards, he's fallen between like the lower lottery type of picks. Now there's a lot of college basketball to be played, a lot of things to be seen, but still, it's like. In a draft where you know the Bulls are going to probably get a top five pick, it's still early, but it's pretty clear that they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. In a year that there are a ton of good talent out there, but yet there are no point guards, and that's what the Bulls have been longing for since Derrick Rose wasn't Derrick Rose anymore. It's tough, and I'm not ready to completely flip my lid on this team or any of these losses yet, just because, like we've talked about, I haven't seen Zach LaVine play a minute in a Bulls uniform yet. And that's kind of my benchmarker. I want to see Zach LaVine play before I totally go off on this team, because you know what, for the front office, with what they're looking at right now on the floor and the frustrations that Fred Hoiberg has even kind of subtly said over the course of the last couple of weeks is like, we have nobody on this roster that can help us shoot, and then we have nobody that can score on this roster.
You know, we had some really good looks, and we just, you know, we did not convert. And you know, again, it's becoming a theme with our team. When our shots aren't falling, or we're turning it over, we hang our heads, and you can't do that. You know, we fought from the second quarter on, but you know, again, we're down 20 after the first quarter with a 7-point quarter. You know, you're not breeding any confidence for yourselves. So it's just, you know, again, it's a mindset. You got to come out. If you see that thing go through the hoop, it's going to give you a little confidence. Right now, we don't have a lot, especially early in game.
As much as you want to look at what Lauri Markkanen has done and the positive that has done, the Bulls have to cash in and hope that Zach LaVine is the star that they traded for, because outside of Markkanen playing, what else do you have on this roster?
I mean, that's it. That's really it right now, because I'm still worried about Dunn, as I said. I don't see Grant as a piece of this team moving forward. You know, I feel like the jury's still out on what Portis and Valentine are going to be at the NBA level. Paul Zipser has been a huge disappointment this season thus far, after a pretty decent season last year.
Gar Foreman's boy.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Chris Felicio, what looks to be a pretty decent, you know, contract extension for him in the offseason, $8 million a year over 4 years. He has looked awful this season. And all the other quasi pieces, like really right now, Markkanen looks like the only sure thing. And that's why, as you said, we're desperately awaiting for the return of Zach LaVine. And some good news there, it sounds like, from what we heard from Fred at before Thursday's practice, LaVine's going to be cleared to practice, like contact practice, sometime next week. And we could be looking at a return sometime mid-December. I know we've talked about whether or not the Bulls are going to play it safe with him and when they'll let him come back and start playing. There were some who thought maybe not until after the first of the new year. We could see LaVine in about a month. And boy, can I not even
wait
for that to
happen. Well, remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago, too, is like Vincent Goodwill went on the radio and said that, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if he saw LaVine playing as soon as the last week in November, which is what, a week and a half away, first week in December. He said he is that close and he's that ready. And Fred Hoiberg to come out and say that after this game is funny, because he's like, damn, I wish this kid could come back even quicker than he has been. You know, like he needs somebody out there to say, you know, I'm not, this isn't all my fault. And like, I'm trying to run the offense and I'm trying to run the team the way I want to run it. But the players that I've been given, again, there's nothing. There's nothing here he can work with. So in a sense, I feel bad for Fred Hoiberg, too. It's because it's like at a certain point, you got to throw your hands up and be like, if this is the roster I'm given, this is the best you're going to get.
Well, and like, let's remind ourselves that this was part of the plan. You know, the Bulls aren't supposed to be winning games this year. They're supposed to look this bad. Hopefully they look less bad when LaVine comes back, and we'll see what he can do as far as not only adding points as a scorer, creating his own shots, but hopefully at least finding some looks for his teammates, namely Lauri Markkanen, because right now that's the failing element. And it was really tough to watch the Bulls struggle mightily in that first quarter against the Thunder, only putting up 7 points. They had a couple of early looks that were decent that just didn't fall. Like Dunn had a pull up, Lopez had a little baby hook in the lane, and you know he usually makes those. 9 out of 10 times he makes those. But Hoiberg said, you know, they kind of got down on themselves after the first few buckets didn't fall, and then it was just like everybody gave up on the game plan. because there was a lot of standing around and a lot of too much dribbling from either of their bad point guards. And that is not what Fred Hoiberg's trying to do.
The fact that there's a couple guys on this roster that, you know, barring injury, you wish were back and that this team would look a little different. And I think the overreaction to what happened last night, we've seen over the last couple weeks, I can understand it, but I feel like sometimes there's Bulls fans that out there that forget, like, even for instance, last night with Justin Holiday being out, David Nwaba, who we, you know, before he got hurt, the last couple of games that he had was looking promising, and it was looking like another, okay, this could be a decent piece to, you're playing without LaVine, you're playing without Nico Mirotic, which at the beginning of the season you thought would be here. That's changed too, but like, talking about just those four guys, adding those guys into this team, if they were healthy, I feel like it wouldn't be as bad as it is right now. Do you agree with me, or do you think it doesn't matter what we throw in there, it's still going to look pretty damn awful?
I mean, that's a tough question. Obviously, I think that the Bulls would be getting a little bit more production collectively and be scoring more points as a team if some of those guys were in there. At the same time, I worry about whether or not this group is really buying into playing Fred's style of basketball, because clearly that's something that didn't happen his first 2 years in Chicago, whether it was Rose or Butler or whoever running the offense. Now that he has the reins and Gar and Pack said, okay, Fred, now we got rid of the egos and the ball stick guys on our roster, go coach your style. We're still not really seeing a lot of that. And again, I think a lot of that goes back to the weakness specifically at the point guard position. If some of those guys that aren't playing right now were in there playing, would maybe we be seeing fewer blowouts, fewer ugly, you know, scoring fewer than 10 points in a quarter kind of games? Yeah, probably. But this would still be a very bad team.
So with the loss last night, the Bulls have a chance now today to kind of simmer on that loss. And I mean, you know, they can't get down. That's another thing that we talked about earlier this week is the fact that they had, you know, there's going to be losses all season long, and it's a matter of just not quitting. And I think for a young team like this and the struggles that they have had early with quitting on Fred Hoiberg early on in games or just giving up after being so far down, I think that's going to be something really important for them to understand going on this road trip, because for the most part, they're playing pretty decent teams now over the next three games. The Bulls have a legitimate shot to come out and play teams more towards their level, the bottom tier teams. I'm not talking about the Hornets, but they're playing the Suns also, which will be kind of an interesting matchup to watch too. But I feel like hopefully in this three-game stretch, maybe they can get a win out of here, get a little bit of confidence back in them, and we'll see what goes from there. But my biggest question here, and I had this thought, even with the Bulls potentially getting a top five pick, looking all the way towards the draft, do you have this feeling that you can trust dropping in a guy like, I don't know, like Bagley, like Michael Porter Jr., like a DeAndre Ayton, Mohamed Bamba, somebody like that, where you think that there's superstar potential there? Do you have confidence dropping that guy in there with what the Bulls have right now?
Well, I think that goes to a pretty big question as far as what this Bulls front office has done in years past, which is drafting for need versus drafting for overall talent. And I think up until this past season, maybe, you know, with Markkanen being a shooter and the Bulls desperately needing a shooter, they drafted a little bit more towards need. But before that, it was always from this Bulls front office best available, regardless of need. That's why you saw them take Bobby Portis instead of a point guard a few years ago, when everybody thought you should probably take a point guard in this draft. I mean, when it comes to what this Bulls team needs right now, they kind of need everything. But the way that Markkanen has played thus far this year, I can fairly confidently project he can be the starting four on a Fred Hoiberg style of offense for the foreseeable future. So basically any position elsewhere on the floor, you can draft a big, you can, because Lopez is going to be gone. Felicio kind of looks terrible these days. You can draft a big, you can look to draft a wing. As I said, I don't really think, I think they'd be reaching. If assuming the Bulls have a top five pick, I think they'd be reaching if they went with a point guard. But you know, to me, Luka Doncic, man, like that's, I know he's the a little bit more of a question mark because he's the international player, and we might not see as much of him as we might the likes of Porter and Bamba and Bagley, but I think you could drop Luka Doncic in this team right away, and he would help a lot of what's missing on this Fred Hoiberg team right now when it comes to ball movement and player movement.
Yeah, and I know that the front office and especially Gar Foreman and some of their top scouts have already been over there to Europe to watch Doncic, and now they're going to get a little bit more of an idea of what these type of players are with college basketball starting. And speaking of that, kind of transitioning our conversation here, how about those games that were played at the United Center the other night between Duke? They had Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, and so Kentucky. So they got a chance to watch, although Marvin Bagley went out early in the game, they got it at least a chance to see some of these top talent teams. They got to take a look at Miles Bridges and guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. on Michigan State. But it was kind of depressing that they didn't get to watch Marvin Bagley at least a little bit in front of on their own home court. But the one guy I feared was that was going to go off ended up going off. And there's a fear that if the Bulls acquire some type of first pick other than their top draft pick, that they're going to take their boy, Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Grayson Allen decided to have his best game of his Duke career right in front of Gar Foreman and John Paxson's eyes with 37 points. And he shot like 8 threes. He made 8 of like 11 or 8 of 12 from three-pointer and had the dagger late to close out the game for Duke.
Yeah, what was more disappointing? The fact that we didn't get to see a full look at Marvin Bagley or the fact that we had to watch Grayson Allen do that?
I think it was a combination of both, to be honest with you. And the fact that you wanted to see Marvin Bagley play and have Gar Foreman and John Paxson with all of their crew, you know, their small team of scouts who were literally right there on your home floor. And of course, he's got to get poked in the eye and he doesn't play again. So I'm hoping that with their small team of experts that they at least get a chance to go out and see Marvin Bagley play against other top teams once conference play comes on. But a pretty nice showing for the United Center as a whole, to be honest with you. It's always cool having top college basketball games played at the United Center. I always love when the NCAA comes to town and plays at the United Center for like the opening weekend or something like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to just kind of see that college atmosphere and the beginning of that college basketball hype take place right here in Chicago. And I know that a lot of Bulls fans were tuning in because they'd rather watch potential draft picks than the current Bulls right now. And I can't necessarily knock them for that. But, geez, I mean, did it have to be a star performance from Grayson Allen, the demon spawn of Ted Cruz? I mean, come on. No, if Grayson Allen is a Chicago Bull at any time in his what might be NBA career, that might be the final straw for me. No. I can forgive a lot, but I could not forgive
I could
that.
Just see it now. The Bulls acquiring some pick between like a late first rounder, like between like 22 and 30. And then Gar Foreman just like immediately like, we got to take this guy. We got to take it. You know, he builds right into our culture, which is hilarious because Grayson Allen in every single way fits into the Bulls timeline of just terrible, awful picks of a guy that's been at a top program. You know, this guy that's been up for preseason awards for AP Player of the Year. He's up again this year for it. A guy that is, you know, plays sort of dirty, kind of plays to the timeline of what the Bulls have right now and tripping guys. It's just, it's a joke because, you know, we clown around about it, but the fact that the Bulls probably do have serious interest if they do get a late round draft pick can't be underestimated because look at the guys before that they've built the resume on and the things that they've backed. They've said, you know, we like guys that have had experience in college and so forth and so on and blah, 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 blah. And it's terrifying if the Bulls end up with another first round pick this year.
Can you
year.
Imagine all of the Twitter hate that would immediately flow out about like, oh, it's just like, oh my God, it's another Doug McDermott. Oh, they drafted another white boy who can shoot, but that's all he can do. Like, oh, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I can see that happening now.
Well, speaking of special events at the United Center, so it came as a surprise. Now, this has been it's been almost over a course of a month. Now, the United Center and the Bulls have partnered with the NBA for two major announcements. First being the NBA lottery being here in 2018. And now the NBA All-Star Game is going to be in Chicago in 2020. funniest part of all of this, let me read you a quote from Jerry Reinsdorf. And I don't know if you saw this, read this from Casey Johnson over in the Chicago Tribune, but this is a good article kind of breaking down what's going on with the All-Star game. But it's funny. He says Jerry Reinsdorf had this to say about the All-Star game coming to the Bulls over recent years. He said, they would have to force me to take the All-Star game, Jerry Reinsdorf told Tribune reporter and ESPN.com's Melissa Isaacson in 2012. They take over the building. Your season ticket holders have to be in a lottery to see if they get tickets, and then they don't get a good ticket. Really, no good can come out of it, and all it can do is upset your fans. So, yeah. Change of heart from Jerry Reinsdorf. Michael Reinsdorf now kind of butting his way in of taking this over.
No.
Or is it just a ploy?
This is not a change of heart from Jerry. This is Grandpa Jerry, the grumpy Grandpa Jerry, losing a little bit of power here to Michael Reinsdorf, who was like, yo, Pops, come on. We got to do this. I mean, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, did also cite the fact that Rahm Emanuel, Chicago's mayor, was really gunning for this. I guess that's a poor choice of words here in Chicago, was really trying hard to make this happen. And it was a mutual combined effort between Rahm Emanuel and Michael Reinsdorf. And I guess Jerry, the patriarch, was just like, ugh, fine. So, no, I don't think this was a change of heart from Jerry. I think this was Rahm Emanuel and Michael Reinsdorf saying, Jerry, we're doing this. Complain about it if you want, but we're doing it.
Yeah, he's got to make up for the soda tax loss that he got repealed real quick. But
I have to drive to Indiana to buy beverages. That's ridiculous. Who does that?
Paul Zipser.
We'll stick to sports here. The other thing, too, I didn't even think about the city connection, but I thought more terms of, you know me and the listeners that don't know me. I love a good conspiracy, so I got to cook one up here. So is it convenient that the fact that the Bulls, being one of the, you know, most lucrative franchises in the NBA, all of a sudden decides to tank? And, you know, with any team that's big, successful in pro sports, it's not a secret that leagues only thrive when big cities and big markets are thriving. And with the fact that the Knicks, the Lakers, the Bulls, you know, are all in this transition period, all this rebuilding period, it's not good for the NBA. And I mean, you've heard players even talk about it. LeBron James just said, like, not even a week ago, that he said, you know, the league is better when teams like the Knicks and the Lakers, and he decided to leave out the Bulls. So go make your decision again, LeBron James. But he left out the Bulls. But the fact that he brought up the Lakers and the Knicks and saying that the league is better when these teams and these big markets are good, there's truth to that. So it's funny that the Bulls decided to tank, and I feel like there was like a moment of like a heart attack by the NBA that are like, oh God, what happens if the Bulls aren't good, you know, 5-7 years down the line, they're still into this rebuild. We got to do something to speed that process up, hopefully landing a top three pick. And now showcasing the All-Star game 2 years later after that.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily think it's crazy conspiracy theory. I don't think you can label it conspiracy theory to think that. I think there's some truth to that. Obviously, the NBA wants the Bulls to be relative, just like they want the Lakers and the Knicks to be relative. They're the three largest markets. It makes sense. So maybe that's why they gave the Bulls the draft lottery in addition to the Combine. The Combine's been here for the past couple years. And you want that hype around draft lottery, especially considering the Bulls are going to be one of those teams gunning for the top pick. You know, whoever their representative might be. Is it going to be Zach LaVine? Is it going to be Paxson? Is it going to be some Chicago Make-A-Wish kid? We don't know. But they want that event here because they want Chicago to stay relative. However, I will also mention that it's not necessarily just that and the NBA and Chicago being like, the Bulls have to be somewhat relevant if they're not winning games. This is an ongoing trend under the current regime of Mayor Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. Yes, Chicago politics are still corrupt as all hell, but look at the NHL draft happening in Chicago for the first time in a long time. Look at the NFL draft happening in Chicago a couple of years after not being here in forever. Look at the fact that Chicago put in a very serious bid to host the Olympics. I can't remember if it was like 2020 or 2022 or something. They didn't win, but they were one of a few finalists. Chicago and Mayor Rahm Emanuel are trying more and more to bring this kind of stuff to the city. And this is the latest.
Yeah, and what's funny, as I was going to also say too, is like, the Cubs in Wrigley Field, they're pushing to try and get the All-Star game to come back to Wrigley. And I can only imagine what that would do for the city in terms of All-Star games. But that's a good point to bring up. I forgot about the NFL draft and some of these other things.
As a resident of Wrigleyville, I would not like that.
You know, and I don't even know how they would deal with that, but it is crazy. I will say this too. It's good in terms of for fans here, as much as like the quote I just read about Jerry Reinsdorf saying that fans would be irritated. To be honest, the hype around the city and what it would bring as far as like stars coming into the city to come to the NBA All-Star game, live performances, you know, after parties, like all of this to kind of culminate the city, I think it's a good thing. And I think even if the Bulls are bad still in 2020 and still in a rebuild, at least the city can be excited about something related to basketball here. And you would hope by then that either the top five pick, crossing my fingers, that the Bulls get in 2018, a star that they sign, or potentially Zach LaVine ends up being that guy of the face there. But who knows? It's still a long time till there. But overall, I like it. I like having the All-Star game. I don't see any real problem with
No, I think it'll be fun. And I think before we wrap up, there is, I mean, you know, I poked fun at Jerry for being an old grouch about the All-Star game, so we've accomplished that, but we do need to point out some gross hypocrisy here, because Jerry's big argument for why he didn't want the All-Star game was because it kind of screwed over the season ticket holders. It's like, well, the league basically takes 95% of the tickets, and so season ticket holders don't necessarily get to go to the All-Star events, and that sucks for the season ticket holders. Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry. You're concerned about the well-being and happiness of your season ticket holders when it comes to something like All-Star weekend? What about the fact that a large majority, a gross majority of your season ticket holders are either dropping their season tickets or complaining loudly in the streets and giving money to protest because they're all sick of your front office and want change at the top? You're going to ignore that but say, oh, I feel bad for our season ticket holders at All-Star Weekend. Come on. That is disgustingly two-faced.
And also, too, you know, he wants to rake in that money from the Bulls season tickets so he can go out and, like I said, so he can go out and sign like Nolan Arenado or Manny Machado for the White Sox.
Yeah, because we all know he cares more about baseball than basketball anyway.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember where you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can find us. Go subscribe to the show. Leave us a review, 5-star review if we're doing good, 5-star review if we don't. You get either way, give us that 5-star review and leave a comment for us too. We are Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can find us on Dash Radio 3 times a week. Yes, that's 3 times a week. Free Dash Radio app. That's the most important thing I want to stress here about Dash Radio is it is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year of free radio. No advertisements. It's explicit radio, too, if that's your thing. You can go over there, listen to some top DJs if you're a big music person, and we've got the NBA channel now live there, so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. But we're there Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Remember, subscribe to the show. Subscribe to Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Remember, the Lowry Marketing jersey, if you want to be the winner of that, go ahead and enter the contest by going over to Twitter, Facebook, or email us a screenshot of your subscriptions. I want to say this too. Thanks for all the love over the emails as you guys have been sending in subscriptions and screenshots for the contest. We've been getting a lot of good remarks, a lot of good feedback. So we appreciate that and appreciate all the support you guys have been giving us so far. But we'll be back tomorrow for you guys with a fresh episode to drive you in through the weekend. But we hope you enjoyed the show today, and we'll be out. But for Matt and Jordan, we are out. We'll see you tomorrow.